Hi, this is Mark from Jag Panzer. You're watching CMS TV.
Time I was 18, I was playing in bands and I had the bug, man. I was like, I'm gonna make it. I know it in my bones. Oh my god, it took so long too. It was funny. From time to time, I'll post this picture for my Facebook when I was like 15, almost 16 years old, I think, and you know, putting my amp in the foyer of the house closest to where I would see Piercy walking his dog.
Okay.
And to crank up this amp to try to like see if he'd look over or kind of start a friendship, music friendship somehow.
Right.
You know what I mean? But my young mind, I was like, this is how I'm going to do it. And I had this little amp and I would just turn it up and do dive bombs. And people love seeing that stuff. But I enjoy looking at it from time to time just to see how many years it's been and all the journey that it's been from like going from being in a local band, just starting out playing your first shows to like trying to get a record deal, trying to do these things. And, you know, you shoot for the stars, if you will. You shoot for the moon, but if you don't make it, you land amongst the stars, right?
You shoot for the moon, but you're stopped at the firmament in most cases.
Yeah, you're stopped at the firmament. I couldn't get to the moon. Damn it. I got to fall with the stars here. And it is that. You get good enough where you can get a gig with somebody who's got some pull that can get you playing shows, a classic rocker, if you will. And I really scored with that. But it took some time. I mean, the picture I posted being 15, 16, it would be another decade before Piercy would call me up to come.
Well, I'm going to tell you, and tell me if I'm wrong, because you've obviously done it and I haven't. The place you have to commit on a level that most sane people will not. And I'll tell the story with me. I mean, I was in a band, you know, most people don't really realize that because I don't talk about it much because my band sucked. But, you know, I mean, when I was 19 years old, 20 years, whatever I was, 20, 21, whenever I came back from the military, 21, 22, I had my band, Distorted Illusion, you know, and I played drums and I sang and we played like two official gigs. And by the second gig, the guitar player was like, I can't play these gigs unless I'm paid at least $50 a show or whatever it was. Mm. This is a second fucking gig. You know, we did one gig that was, you know, of course, it was a free gig. It was my buddy that owned the local Domino's let us come out and play for their city day or whatever it was called. Customer appreciation day. And we played some of our stuff and we played some Metallica stuff, which did not go over well. Oh. But most of the shit that we were playing was "You're My Brown Eyed Girl," you know, that kind of shitty 60s and 70s music. You know, that was the gig. I mean, it was fun. It was fun. And that was the gig. But it was our first ever gig. So we did that. And then we went to our second gig. And that was a little more of a gig, which we, of course, played for free. Went on at fucking 7 o'clock or whatever time it was at a bar that was, you know, the headliner went on at like 11. And the headliner was just some local band. It wasn't like it was a national act. It was like 4-band bill and we're the 6 o'clock opener, that type of a show.
Sure, yeah.
So we played that. And, you know, we were practicing and rehearsing 5 days a week and, you know, all the things that band guys do. After that gig, the guitar player comes to me because I was the de facto band leader. And it comes to me and goes, I just got to tell you, unless I make $50 or more a gig, I'm not going to show up for any shows anymore. And I was like,
okay, Axel.
Well, I was like, you know what? But I took it to the upteeth level. I got really, really mad.
Right.
And I was like, I don't want to deal with this. And if I'm getting this now, it's never going to get better. So I just quit. I just said, I'm not wired for this.
Yeah.
And I quit. You somehow, some way, and I'm curious if you even know what it was. You somehow, some way have put up with 10 to 12 years worth of that kind of shit with something that drove you to tell you that you would get past it and get somewhere.
Right.
Do you know what that was? Do you agree that you had some kind of drive that I did not? Because I admit I did not.
Well, you know, if you find yourself writing songs that people seem to like, and that's like getting some kind of airplay and stuff, and you're getting shows and getting to actually play in front of people and start getting a taste of that adulation, you know, your dreams could possibly come true, that there is a chance you could get this and get better at it and do it. So like, I think the first gig I did, I've told you before, was opening for our buddy Ron Keel.
Right.
And when he had the band Fair Game, which was all chicks, he had, it was Ron singing and he had all chick band. And that was the first gig. The band I was in was called, at the time, was called Poor White Trash.
Nice.
PWT. And the singer Chelsea, he is still playing to this day. He's like a Dave Grohl impersonator today. He's in a band called the Faust Fighters. Is that how you say the
Faux Fighters? Yeah.
Sorry, I never could say that word. Faux Fighters. He's in the Faux Fighters. If you look them up, he looks like Dave Grohl. It's crazy.
Nice.
And he's got the guitar, and they get pretty good gigs. I think he does. I don't know if he's making a living just doing that or what. But I mean, to see the real Foo Fighters is probably like $200.
Right.
So there is a market for people that just want to go to like a smaller bar and be able to go see all these songs get played live and get really drunk and spend less than $60.
Right.
So these guys play, man.
They do. I just, what was it when it wasn't happening for you, when you were playing, but it wasn't, and there were no hints that it was going to happen. And I'm sure there's a big wide range of that.
Yeah.
You know, like years of that.
There was.
What was it that kept telling you, well, I just got to keep going. Was it just you were wired that way, or did you somehow believe something was going to happen?
Well, when you have the frequency going that you believe something's going to happen, then usually another human being has that frequency too. And somehow those frequencies line up, and and so I've always had like somebody or something that I was working with. I was never like, I don't recall ever being completely alone in anything. I mean, I was doing my own solo band when I was playing in Piercy's band, but I still had his band to fall back on. But previous to that, there was always some project I was in. I had that Poor White Trash thing, mind you, that only lasted like two shows, and then we switched up. I went separate ways from fake Dave Grohl, Chelsea, future fake Dave Grohl. We went our separate ways. We're friends today, though. He's totally on my face. He's very supportive of me, and he's happy to see me out playing, and he's a very cool guy. But I ended up getting Andy Milner, which I've talked about, which was Martin, the actor from Adam 12, Martin Milner's son, who was a great singer. He was the best, probably the best rock singer that was unsigned at the time. And we, at that time, I knew Piercy, of course. And when we were jamming, Piercy was saying, "Hey, you know what you should call your band? Voodoo. It's like a disease. Like I got some voodoo."
Nice.
It didn't even make sense what he said, but we said, "Hey, if you're helping us and helping us to get us on the radio, or saying you're managing us or whatever, if we can say that, we'll call the band that." And so he actually had a hand in naming that band, and we would go on to like do a serious like 5 years of trying to make it with this band. And we put on shows. Our singer would like do all these crazy costume changes. I just recently had posted on my Facebook a picture of us playing the Oceanside Amphitheater here in like the early 90s. And then I had in the comments posted a video for the song that we had that was on the radio here in San Diego at the time. I mentioned last show that we had sold a lot of records at the time, sure. like 5,000 records here just in San Diego.
Right.
And we had the help of the radio station. We were like their band that they used. Like whenever there was a national act that came through, we got to play the show from that point. So being involved in those kind of shows really made me think this is something I want to do. I loved that aspect. I had never been on tour or anything. You had mentioned dark times. There were certainly times after that band ended where I was like just trying to find a band. I did the heavy band 13A here for a little bit, and we ended up winning the Miller Genuine Draft Battle of the Bands here in San Diego, which was like a 10 grand prize and like a recording time at some
whatever, right?
Yeah, city went at some crappy studio somewhere,
right?
I know I didn't see any of that money. That was another band that lasted like 2 or 3 years. Then I was just writing songs with the one friend of mine. We were going to start a band, and I was going to do something totally different than I've ever done, more of like a pop kind of thing that wasn't rock. And then I got the call from Steven out of the blue to play in a solo band. I'm 27 at that point.
Okay.
And I took the chance. I took the dive. I went in and found out that touring and all like the debauchery involved back then, I loved it, you know. And I've been with him 23 years of the ups and downs of his career. But luckily, Rat was one of the top hair bands from then, and he's had...
Sure.
He's been able to play clubs all at least clubs, you know, all these years. And now we worked a backup somehow, miraculously. He's playing big events now, sometimes arenas. We're all pretty old now. I mean, I'm feeling it. I feel old. I mean, there's no more debauchery on my.
Well, I was going to say, you've literally watched it go from the three P's, you know, to now there's no P's.
The three Z's.
Yeah, that's it. I was going to say, that's what it is now. Yeah. When, you know, hanging out with you guys. Last time I saw you guys, which, again, that was a while ago. But last time I hung out with you guys, it was fucking eating, what are those little candies called that Steven was eating when he was fresh off the junk?
Was it Lifesavers or like some Jolly Ranchers?
Not Skittles, but the ones that are in paper.
Tootsie Rolls? No, are they hard candy?
They were flavored like a Lifesaver, whatever they're called. I don't remember. Right. Somebody will tell me. They're little squares. They're wrapped in a paper. And Steven was eating them by the handful. And that's all you guys had backstage was this giant bag of this candy and like bottles of water. And yeah. I was like, and I'm like, this is fucking Steven Piercy, for God's sake.
Where's the pussy? No, it's definitely none of that. And, you know, Steven travels with his ladies part of
it. No, but this was, that was 10 years ago, believe it or not. That was 2012.
He's always, the whole time I've been in the band, Steven's been married or, you know, in the later
that's true.
Had Christy, like, and there was none of that. Like, he didn't need any trouble in that with that end. You know what I mean?
I'll attest to that. There was none of it. There was no... The only girl that was backstage was Kelly, my girl. She was the only girl backstage.
There's people that are affiliated with the owners of the venue sometimes, or like VIPs that they have come out, you know, in that capacity. You know, typically like husband and wife, boyfriend, girlfriend scenarios coming, couples, if you will, coming back there, you know, they get photos and these things, but it's all business, you know. It's
But whatever, it was still fun. We had a good time.
Yeah, I mean, there was years where we were drinking and stuff. Like the drinking stopped probably. It must have been around the last times that Steven had the problems with Rat, you know, on stage, whatever that was, 5 years ago.
But that's okay because look, Steven, you know, I'll say it. You don't have to, but Steven was struggling. He got himself clean, and he's better. He is
really
as good or better than he was in the day. And I saw him in the day. You know, I saw him in 84, 85, 86, and he wasn't as good then. His voice was maybe a little stronger then than now, but he wasn't as good of a performer then as he is now.
He's singing and performing better than he was 20 years ago, which is pretty amazing. But, I mean, when it's tough to compare – being 25 years old,
yeah, and 65 years old, yeah,
sure. You're gonna sing things a little differently. I mean, I'm always impressed though when I see singers, you know, Bruce Dickinson is a good example. I mean, I don't know if he's still singing everything up in the highest registers of his.
Well, he's still close
for the time. Yeah.
Well, like Glenn Hughes.
Glenn Hughes is amazing.
Glenn Hughes sounds like he did when he was 20, and that was 50 freaking years ago.
I know. He's blessed.
Yeah, I mean, it's crazy, but.
Now, I know they were saying earlier that we asked it about CJ.
Yeah, well, let's do this first. Let's play a quick spot.
Okay.
Just one quick spot, and then we'll come back and we'll talk about CJ. Because that's good. Very, very unfortunate.
Yeah.
But I need a place to cut this. So so let me, all right, we'll play a quick spot, and then we will come back and we will talk about the very unfortunate passing of CJ Snare and how we both knew him a little bit, and we'll talk about that. Next, right here on Chris Hagen Presents.
It's the limited edition six-pick set from Eric Ferrantino's. Get your autograph set today at ericpigs.cmspn.com. $25 includes first-class shipping. I drag a flow, the keys to your city.